Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again. And welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have a story about religion in Latin America. Latin America includes the countries of both South and Central America and the countries in the Caribbean Sea. The report is based on a study from the Pew Research Center. In the story, you will hear how many people of the Roman Catholic faith are converting to Protestant denominations. Almost 40% of the world's Catholic population, or about 425 million people, lives in Latin America. In 2013, for the first time in history, a Latin American, Pope Francis, became head of the Catholic Church. But a recent study from the Pew Research Center says people in Latin America have increasingly lost faith in the Catholic Church. The study looked at religious beliefs and practices in 18 countries in South and Central Americas and the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico. A significant number of people are switching from Catholicism to Protestantism. Experts say that from 1900 to the 1960s, at least 90% of Latin Americans were Catholic. But the new Pew study suggests that membership in the Catholic Church has decreased as much as 20%. Most new Protestants are members of Pentecostal denominations. Pentecostals believe in what they call gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts include things like divine healing and exorcism, the practice of forcing an evil spirit to leave a certain place or a person's body. Many say they have seen or experienced a sudden cure from illness or injury by a divine healing. Another of these gifts is speaking in tongues, an act that many Pentecostals believe is a personal conversation with God. Maria Elena de Almeida is a member of one Pentecostal denomination in Brazil. She says she turned away from Catholicism as a teenager because she wanted to become closer to God.
Eu vim de uma família católica.
I was baptized and christened, but I was empty inside, and I knew something was lacking. Even though I was Catholic, I never prayed to idols because I believed there was a supreme being, God, and I used to talk to him. When I was a child, my neighbor used to take me to a Protestant church, and that's where I met God. That's why, at age 18, I became a Protestant.
Religious views often differ within Latin American families. Ms. Jalmeida says some members of her family remain Catholics, including her mother and brother. Earlier this year, Pope Francis met with a group of Protestants in southern Italy. He wanted to apologize on behalf of Catholics around the world who treated those converting to Pentecostalism unfairly. "I am the shepherd of the Catholics, and I ask you to forgive my Catholic brothers and sisters who did not understand and were tempted by the devil," he said. Though many are leaving Catholicism, Latin Americans have a generally favorable opinion of Pope Francis. At least half of Catholics in 14 countries have a very favorable opinion of him. But former Catholics do not have strong feelings one way or the other towards the Roman Catholic Church leader. Many Catholics believe some of the Church's teachings do need to be changed. About 65% of Catholics questioned in the study say the Church should permit birth control. Around 60% say the Church should end its ban on divorce. Last month, Pope Francis convened a 2-week synod to discuss the Church's teachings. Even without any change, some observers believe the synod was a signal that the Church might ease its position eventually. Words in this story: Catholic, noun, a person who is a member of the Roman Catholic Church. Denomination, noun, a religious group. Pentecostal, noun, a member of a Pentecostal religious body that emphasizes individual experiences of grace, spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues and divine healing, expressive worship, and evangelism. Protestant, noun, a member of one of the Christian churches that separated from the Roman Catholic Church in the 16th century. Recently, we received our supply of VOA wall calendars for 2015. This year, the calendars have beautiful color pictures of the southwestern United States. To get your calendar, simply send an email to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or write to VOA Learning English, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Be sure to include your mailing address when you write. We have several hundred 2015 wall calendars, but when they are gone, they are gone. So write to us today. And that's all the time we have for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is a special edition of In the News, a look back at some of the major economic stories of 2014. I'm Mario Ritter. First on our list is the unexpected drop in the price of oil that began in June. Often, low oil prices fuel growth, but this year, the price drop has helped some countries while hurting others. Increased American oil production is one reason for the drop in world oil prices. The drilling method called hydraulic fracturing, developed in the U.S., has helped make the increase possible. Recovering fossil fuels from rock shale has also increased supplies in the U.S. Experts say slowing economies in China and in Europe have reduced demand for oil. Increasing supply and decreasing demand usually result in falling prices. In the past, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, has reacted to price drops by decreasing production. But this year, that did not happen. At OPEC's meeting in November, members chose to leave production levels unchanged. The huge drop in the price of oil this year helped create another major story, Russia's slowing economy. Russian officials said they expect the country's economy to shrink in 2015 or go into recession. Two reasons for this are reduced income from oil sales and the effects of restrictions placed on Russia because of its actions in Ukraine. The exchange rate for Russia's currency, the ruble, has dropped sharply against the dollar. In mid-December, the European Union agreed to increase sanctions against Russia. They include restrictions on finance and tourism in Crimea. The U.S. economy showed signs of strengthening this year. The Department of Commerce updated the most recent measure of the economy. It said the U.S. economy grew at a rate of 5% from July to September. The Dow Jones Industrial Index extended above 18,000 in 2014. That is the highest level ever for the widely reported measure of stock market value. In other financial news, the U.S. Central Bank ended its last round of the program known as quantitative easing in October. The program, by the U.S. Federal Reserve System, bought trillions of dollars of securities. Experts say the program helped support the U.S. economy and kept interest rates low. Also, the face of America's central bank, the U.S. Federal Reserve System, changed in 2014. The Senate confirmed Janet Yellen to lead the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System in January. She is the first woman to lead the nation's central bank in its 100-year history. Hilton Worldwide announced it was selling the famous Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City to a Chinese company for $1.95 billion. The buyer, Anbang Insurance Group, offered one of the highest prices ever for a U.S. hotel. Hilton Worldwide says it will use the money from the sale to buy other hotels in the United States. The Chinese buyer has said it will invest in remodeling the property on Park Avenue to bring it back to its historical grandeur. The ride-sharing company Uber faced legal actions in several countries. The Indian government called for all unregistered taxi services to halt operations in December. The order came after an Uber driver reportedly raped a woman in New Delhi, the capital. Uber uses a mobile app to link drivers and people seeking a ride. Uber competes with established taxi services in many cities around the world. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter. Thank you.
Now, VOA Learning English presents a story for the new year. It is called Bright Hill. Our storyteller is Shep O'Neill.
A few days before Christmas, Chantal Yardley visited Jacob Samuels in the old people's home. "Do you know they aim to blow it up?" said Mr. Samuels, as he looked out a window. His face was nearly the same red as the hanging Christmas decorations. He was angry at the thought that the house on Bright Hill, the shelter of his happy years when his wife Irma was alive, his house was to be destroyed.
"The people who bought the house said it would be a fine place to raise their children. If my wife was alive, she would not talk to me for a year." Chantal tried to change the subject.
"Do you know it has been almost 30 years? She asked the old man.
"I remember," said Jacob Samuels. "Irma and I spent the whole week before calling the people in the community, trying to put together a welcome for you."
"A week?"
"Yep," answered the old man quietly. "We saw what was going on with the riots in the big cities, and all the wrong people with guns farther south. We thought all that was not the friendly American way." Chantal remembered being a little afraid 30 years ago. No black family had ever lived in the Bright Hill community. Her husband, Rafe, was leading the big moving truck, driving their small blue car. Rafe stopped the car when they saw 15 or 20 people in front of their new home on Tully Lane. Someone stepped toward them in the street. Chantal held her throat with fright. Then, a man in front of their new house held up a sign written in big, colorful letters. It said, "Welcome." People motioned with their hands for Rafe to drive on up. When Rafe and Chantal Yardley stepped out onto their new property, people hurried up to them and shook their hands. The man holding the welcome sign said he was Jacob Samuels from the house at the top of Bright Hill. People filled Chantal's and Rafe's arms with sweets, cooked dinners, and more. There was so much food. "What a day that was," said Chantal.
"What a day," agreed Jacob Samuels.
It was a beautiful community. Children could walk to school or play happily up at the Samuels house, and their parents need not worry if the children were safe. Most important, nobody wanted to move out of the Bright Hill community just because people moved in who were a little different.
"Remember Mrs. Hancock's picture in the newspaper?" asked Chantal.
"Sure do," answered Jacob Samuels with a smile. "When Mr. and Mrs. Ho came from Vietnam, and we drew a little Buddha on their welcome sign."
"Then the men in white cloth came," said Chantal.
One morning, there were men standing in front of the Ho family's house. The men were covered from head to toe in white cloth, with holes cut out for their eyes. One of the men held up a wood cross and set fire to it. All the people in the other houses on Tully Lane ran out their doors and toward Mr. and Mrs. Ho's house. Bob Hobart carried a long, iron-point African war weapon. Jacob Samuels came running, wearing a silver Swedish war hat, carrying a meat-cutting knife high in his right hand. The men in white cloth were much surprised by this sudden appearance of more than 50 people. White cloth flew everywhere as these men of hate ran off in all directions. Old Mrs. Hancock threw a stick under the feet of a white cloth flying around the corner of her house. The man fell. Mrs. Hancock jumped from her front steps onto the man's back and hit him with an empty flour can. Jake Griffin had to pull her off the man. Later, Jake said he never knew a 78-year-old woman could be that strong. The next day, a newspaper ran a picture of Mrs. Hancock without her false teeth. Under the picture was printed the words, "Bright Hill Hero." From then on, everybody in the country knew about Bright Hill. Somebody called it the community that hates hate. That description stuck. Old Mrs. Hancock died the next year. The Alavis bought her house. They had fled Iran when the Ayatollah took over. The sons from Kunming, China, moved into the community soon after. Then the Ankolis from Uganda, the Kumars from Bombay, India, the Santiagos from Nicaragua. There were parties for all the new people, in the streets or in the house on Bright Hill. And after the Battle of the White Cloths, the community held some kind of celebration almost every week. Now, someone was going to tear down the house on Bright Hill. In the quiet week between Christmas and New Year's, Jacob Samuel sat and thought about his old house. On a day not long after, Chantal called Jacob Samuels. "Rafe says maybe the town officials can declare the house a historic building," said Chantal on the telephone. "That way it could not be torn down. He is going to talk with a friend in the government." The next morning, Rafe hurried off to talk with the town officials. Chantal was leaving for work. A funny figure on a bicycle came riding up Tully Lane, wearing a shiny hat and a big red cloth tied around his neck. Chantal laughed. It was Jacob Samuels. Mr. Samuels waved and shouted, "They thought no one would notice if they came in soft-like and started tearing down the house." He pointed behind him at a big earth mover and two trucks coming up Tully Lane. Mr. Samuels got off the bicycle at his old front door and pulled his special meat knife from under his neckcloth. The workman driving the earth mover tried to talk with him, but Mr. Samuels would not let the man come close. The workmen talked together quietly for a while, then they climbed into their vehicles, started their engines, and drove toward different parts of the little house. Mr. Samuels was everywhere at once, throwing himself in front of the earth mover or a threatening truck. He moved very fast for an old man. Again, other people in the community came out of their doors just as on the day of the white cloths. Fred Jansen wanted to know what was going on. Chantal told him some men had come to tear down the Samuels house on Bright Hill.
in a pig's eye. Not if I can help it, Fred shouted, and he broke into a run.
Jacob Samuels took the red cloth from around his neck to wave and defend his house like a Spanish bullfighter. Then one of the trucks drove straight at Jacob. Jacob was slow to move. The truck just missed hitting him. The driver could not turn the truck in time and ran into the side of the house on Bright Hill. The little house shook. Everybody stopped short, even the trucks and Earth Mover.
Rafe Yardley drove his blue car slowly through the crowd, stopped, and climbed out. He held up a paper.
Judge Martin Klein signed a court order this morning, he said. Nothing can be done to this house until Judge Klein has a hearing about it. The town officials will meet after the New Year holiday. There are enough votes so Bright Hill will be named as a historic house.
Jacob Samuels looked at the sad little house with its now broken windows and fallen stones.
Now I have to buy it back, he said. But I do not have enough money.
We have some saved, said Rafe as he looked toward Chantal. Then Mrs. Sun stepped forward.
We have some extra too, Mr. Samuels, you will take. And my husband can help with the work. All over the little hill, people began to speak up, offering money and willing hands to work, even one of the workmen. Church bells far off played Joy to the World. Rafe stepped to his open car.
The people of France make a wonderful drink called champagne, he smiled. I was saving this for New Year's Eve, but December 29th is close enough. Rafe opened some bottles and passed them into the crowd. The church bells far away played, Should Old Friendships Be Forgot. Then Rafe turned to Jacob Samuels, held a bottle high, and said in a loud voice, Here's to Jacob Samuels and all the people of the Bright Hill community. You are the spirit of the real America. And the voices of the Yardley family, and the Sun family, and the Kumar family, and the voices of all the people who came to Bright Hill from all around the world rose up to meet the bells with happy shouts and bright song.
To everybody, wherever you are in the world, all of us at VOA Learning English would like to thank you for your good wishes. And to all, a Happy New Year.